This is KERA News. I'm Eric Austin. Now to the latest installment of our One Crisis Away series, The Price of Prison. You can't talk about prison without talking about race. The statistics are startling. African Americans and Latinos make up a third of the U.S. population, but two-thirds of the prison population. Researchers say one of every three African American men born in 2001 will be imprisoned at some point. For white men, that number is 1 in 17. Reporter Stephanie Kuo explores how race and criminal justice are intertwined, and she starts with a man who's seen that firsthand.
April, 1997. Christopher Scott and Claude Simmons were driving through the wrong place at the wrong time. A man named Alfonso Aguilar had been murdered. Police were everywhere, and they had just a brief description of the suspects.
Two African-American men, one tall, one short, dark-complected with a low haircut. Now I'm like, what kind of description is that? You describe half the African-American men in the world today if that's the description you have.
Scott and Simmons were arrested, convicted of murder, and sentenced to life in prison. There was no DNA evidence, nothing to link them to the crime, except, Scott says, the color of their skin.
It was like being profiled. And then I was like, yeah, I didn't think I was going to get a fair trial anyway, because at the end of the day, I had all 12 jury members was white, the judge was white, the prosecutor was white, and my attorney was white. And I was like, I just know where I was going to get a fair trial with it stacked like that.
12 years later, both men were exonerated. Since he got out of prison, Scott's built a sort of nonprofit detective agency focused on exonerations. It was the subject of a PBS documentary, True Conviction. But before the national spotlight, his felt like just another black life to throw away.
The day I was going to court, I was in a holdover with 7 other African-American young men. I was the oldest out of them, and I was 25. None of us got no less than 75 years.
If you're a black man in America, you're 5 times as likely to go to state prison as a white man. That's according to the Sentencing Project, a national advocacy group. The project finds racial disparity at every level of the legal process. African Americans are more likely to be arrested. Once arrested, they're more likely to be convicted. And once convicted, they get stiffer sentences. And a Princeton study found the average black defendant pays more in bail, nearly $10,000 more than the average white defendant. The conclusion for many people, the modern-day criminal justice system is broken.
In order for something to be broken, that means it has to start from being fixed and or correct or perfect to begin with.
Chanel Jones is the program chair of the Department of Public Safety at Franklin University. She says the criminal justice system isn't broken. It was designed that way.
It was designed and created to marginalize, subdue, and control people of color. You have to think of it in the perspective of the racialized history of the United States.
Starting with slave codes. Those were harsh restrictions designed to keep slaves from rebelling or escaping. They criminalized basic activities like congregating and learning how to read. After emancipation and Reconstruction came the Jim Crow era and a whole new set of restrictions around segregation in public places.
80 Nashville students were arrested out of over 300 who were participating in the sit-ins that day.
The first of a series of wholesale arrests.
For refusing to give up her seat to a white man, she was arrested and fined.
Over the centuries, it was fairly common for African Americans to be shot, hanged, or burned to death for minor offenses. Yet whites, Jones says, were rarely punished to that degree.
All of these laws, these rules, these regulations, we're taking something that everybody does, but when an African American does it, we then criminalize it. And so that eventually evolves into perpetuating stereotypes and stigmas and this notion that black people are to be feared.
Fear, she says, continues to fuel the racial disparities in the criminal justice system.
This is crack cocaine. It's turning our cities into battles.
From the war on drugs in the 1980s to mandatory minimum sentences to policing practices.
Of stop and frisk. To some blacks and Latinos, it's naked racial profiling.
All of that has led to mass incarceration today. Jones says the methods and the names have changed over time, but the goal is still the same, to control black and brown populations, socially and financially.
They have that on their record. That then creates significant barriers to employment opportunities, for some states, the ability to vote, run for office, being able to get federal aid to go to college and get an education. So they're in a cycle, right, that perpetuates itself. So it keeps one population stuck, then it protects those who are already in power.
The progressive think tank People's Policy Project found that poverty is widening that racial gap in prison. Poor Black Americans have more trouble paying for good lawyers, making bail, and finding work with a criminal record. Jones says that makes it more likely that they'll commit crimes again and end up back in prison.
I feel like we get to look as the bad guys, the gangsters.
Stanley Wallington is someone who knows that cycle. He's been in and out of prison, serving a total of 10 years. His crimes range from felony possession of a firearm to theft to drug possession. Wallington says he feels eyes are on him when he drives around Fort Worth.
It's like they're looking for us to be doing drugs out moving around. We're not gangsters. We the ordinary people. Sing and dance on TV, you know? The artists. The sports people. It's just people like enjoying their life.
The answer many politicians are turning to is criminal justice reform. 33 states have decriminalized marijuana. Last month, Florida restored voting rights for convicted felons. And people like Dallas County's incoming district attorney, John Cruzo, and President Trump have pledged to fix the system. Legal experts like Chanel Jones say it's a start, but it'll take a lot more to undo hundreds of years of American history. For KERA News, I'm Stephanie Kuo.